Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, The Forgotten God. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here today, and I want to remind you of something. In 4 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter, okay? And so I just want to encourage you to be very, very intentional. And around here, we like to say we want to invest and we want to invite. And so here's my challenge for all of us, okay? I want you to be thinking about who you need to invest in and who you need to invite. And then I want you to take it a step further. I want you to bring them, okay? How about if all of us here today would bring two people? Are there two people in your life that you'd like to take to heaven? Okay? Because we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. Okay? And you and I can influence people in that way. And so I just want to encourage you to be very, very intentional about that. Again, we're glad that you're here. We're talking about the forgotten God. The forgotten God. Specifically, the Holy Spirit. You know, we know about God the Father. We know about God the Son. But God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, many times gets ignored and we don't understand him. And so what happens is we're not relating to him in the right way. And so we're taking some time to be able to get to know the Holy Spirit. And here's what we're learning. Little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth, God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, so that we would know what God is like. He said stuff like this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he came here to die for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins, but he also came here to be able to train and develop 12 men, disciples, who would carry on his mission. Who would carry on his purpose. And here's what we're learning. Jesus had an incredible conversation with them before he went to the cross. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 are all about the conversation that Jesus had the night before he was going to die on the cross. Probably about 10 hours later, he would die on the cross. And he said stuff like this. Do not let your hearts be troubled, because he knew what was going to happen. Their world was going to be turned upside down. And he's saying, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. And he went on to say, he says, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a helper. And you know what? It's going to be to your advantage that he comes and he will empower you. And he will give you everything that you need to do life. Matter of fact, you know what he'll do? He'll make you contagious. He'll make you contagious. Now, I don't know anyone who's more attractive, okay, or contagious than an authentic Jesus Christ follower. At least that's the way it should be, okay? If you're a Christ follower here today, you should be contagious. And we all know about being contagious, right? The virus, okay? We should be contagious. If you are a Christ follower, an authentic follower of Christ, okay, is one who lives what they believe. You speak the truth. You love generously. You admit quickly when you're wrong. You acknowledge your weaknesses without hesitation. You know who you are. You know who you're not. You accept who you are. And you embrace that. And yet the absence of people being authentic is why the world around us has trouble believing in what you and I say we believe in. Because they've seen too many phonies. You ever been around a phony? Sure you have. Sure you have. You know what? Repulsive. Okay? Just, can I leave? You want to take a step back? And what happens is when you're around somebody who's authentic, you want to get close to them. And yet what happens is when people are phonies, we begin to question what they believe. And what it leads to is a questioning of Christianity. And is it really true? And so what I hope to do today is to help us understand how to live an authentic, genuine, contagious life in Christ. And so we're going to talk about what does it really mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Doesn't mean to be weird. It means to be contagious, authentic, genuine. Now, here's what we have to understand, okay? And some of us don't. It's impossible for you to do that on your own. Matter of fact, we can't explain it apart from the Holy Spirit, because it's God working in you and God working in me that allows me to be genuine, that allows me to be authentic, that allows me to accept me for who I am. And it has nothing to do with my circumstances or my position or my possessions. And it's hard for a person who doesn't know Christ to begin to grapple and grasp those things. I mean, Paul, he writes it this way. He says, the person without the Spirit, that's one who doesn't know Christ, does not accept the things from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and can't understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Only through the Spirit. Let me give you an example, okay? Because you know what? These are crazy times. Would you agree with me? Here's something that most people don't understand unless you're a Christ follower, unless you're filled with God's Spirit. It's this right here. Do not be anxious about anything. Not even today. Not even with the news. Y'all okay? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not most, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And check this out, okay? This is supernatural. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that means most people don't even get it. They can't grasp it. Why aren't you freaking out like everybody else? Why aren't you climbing the walls? Will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And yet the truth be known, not enough Christ followers know this and experience this. It's called the abundant life. It's called the Spirit-filled life. It's called being genuine, authentic. And so what happens is when we're not there, we don't display the power of God. Remember, who lives in you if you're a Christ follower? The same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And so what happens is if we don't understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and how he moves and how he works and how the process happens in one's life, then what happens is we just kind of push him aside. And so much is lost. And so let me remind you of what Jesus has said. He said this, John 14, this is the conversation that he had with the disciples before he went to the cross. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Another helper. I've been with you. I've walked with you for 3 years. I've dealt with everything that has come across your path. But I'm going to send you another helper, okay? Like me, okay? That he may be with you forever. And check this out. And he will be in you. Not just alongside of you. He's going to be in you. And Jesus continues and he says this, for it's to your advantage. I know you don't think it's for your advantage, but I'm telling you, it's better to have me living in you than beside you. That I go away. If I do not go away, the helper, there he is, okay, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So what he is saying is he's saying, hey guys, listen, some crazy stuff's going to happen in the next 24 hours. You don't fully understand it yet, but I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to willingly lay down my life. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to come and move on you and fill you. And it's going to be to your advantage. And I promise you, he's going to help you in incredible, unbelievable ways. And so as we know, Jesus died and he rose again. And he connected with a couple of disciples and he breathed on them. And John chapter 20, verse 20 says, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus told them, to tell the other disciples. And he basically said this to everyone. He says this, Luke records it. He says, you shall receive what? Power, the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Listen to me. The word witness there means that you will stand in place of me. So I just want you to know I'm standing in place of Jesus today. Think of that. Is that mind-boggling? Why? Because he lives inside of me. Does that change your thinking? Does that blow your mind? See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came in the flesh, and he left his spirit to dwell in you and me, now in the flesh. And so what he is saying is, Dwight, the power of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to stand in place of me in Eastern Ohio, in America, to the ends of the earth. You see, just like Christ, we now don't live our lives unto ourselves. We live our lives for a greater purpose, for the teachings of Jesus Christ to the entire world, the message of the good news. And guess what? You ready for this? People are watching. That's what they did. You see, Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God, and everybody was watching to see if they could connect the dots. When you and I say that we are Christ's followers, people are watching. They're observing. They're taking notes. And I want you to know that I love you, but I don't think we're all that impressive. I think they look at us and they say, Dwight, I don't see much transformation in you. I've heard people talk like this. The only difference is you think you're saved and I say that I'm not. But other than that, the way in which you treat your wife, the way in which you relate to your kids, the way in which you do life, not much different than me. So I have a hard time believing that there's a God who came to earth, who died on a cross, and then left, quote unquote, as you say, his spirit to dwell in us. Because you're not much different than me. Because all you're doing is coping with life's challenges. I'm not seeing anything remarkable in how you're dealing with life and its challenges and its problems. And so it comes down to this: how do you and I handle life's challenges? How do you and I handle the virus that we're dealing with right now? Do we handle it by faith or by fear? And by the way, okay, just hold your horses. Faith doesn't mean that you deny reality. This is serious. But God doesn't want you to operate or me operate in fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And so what happens is when you're facing hardships and when I'm facing hardships and when you're facing difficulties and I'm facing difficulties that we are right now and you cannot escape from them, how do we respond? When you get the news from the doctor that it's not a positive thing, how do you respond? When you get the phone call, when I get the phone call in the middle of the night about someone that you love, how do you respond? When you are targeted with some mean, angry, malicious words, how do you respond? Do we respond, God, I need you to fill me with your spirit because I can't handle this. I can't deal with this on my own. You need to step in. You need to give me your spirit. You need to give me your peace. You need to give me your perspective. You need to give me your power. You need to take charge. Even more than that, I need to know that I have your presence, the confidence that you're with me, that you know, that you care, that you're in full control. And see, for this, we need the Spirit. And for this, we have the Spirit. If you're a Christ follower, the Spirit in you. And when he's in control of you and he's in control of me, listen to me very carefully. It's noticeable. There's a noticeable difference between a man or a woman who's spirit-filled and one who's not. Jesus said it like this. Listen, either this stuff is true or it's not. Okay? Here's what Jesus said, our founder. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. On most days? No, on all days. He says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you the courage and the strength for every challenge. Listen, when you and I experience that, and I know that some of you have, it's embedded in your mind and in your heart forever and ever and ever, for a lifetime. I remember when Patty and I got a phone call about 6:30 in the morning, and it's from Caleb. And he said, Dad, he said, I hit a young Amish boy, and I don't know if he's alive or if he's dead. And we found out where he was. And we went to the scene. And of course we were nervous. Of course, we're humans, okay? But I experienced from God something that I've never experienced before. There was a sense of peace. God, you're in control. You care. You love Caleb. You love me. You love us. You love Raymond. You love Amanda. You love Robert. You love everybody who this is touching. You care about us. And I went to the hospital in Columbus, and Patty and Caleb went back home. And we met in that afternoon, and we talked to our family, and many of you prayed for us, and which we're grateful for and we're thankful for. And that happened on a Wednesday, and on a Saturday, our daughter was going to get married. How do you handle that? And as clear as I'm talking to you, God said to me this, Dwight, I'm asking you to weep with those who weep, and I'm asking you to rejoice with those who rejoice. How can one do that? I don't know. I pray to God I'd never have to go through something like that again. But it's been embedded in my mind and in my heart. God, God took me to a whole nother level in experiencing his grace and his goodness and his power within me. And I believe if you would talk to Patty, I think if you would talk to Caleb, I think if you would talk to our family, that God gave us an incredible ability, not in our own strength, but in the power of God to be able to weep with people who were hurting and devastated. And yet at the same time, be able to come back and rejoice with our daughter in the fact that she was getting married. And my life has never been the same because of that. And that's the power of God's Spirit working in one's life. You see, to the natural person, they don't understand that. How'd you make it? How'd you get through it? Are you kidding me? Are you nuts? See, let me explain it to you this way. There's two essential things that you have to know and understand to enjoy a car. One is the keys, right? If you got a car and you don't have the keys, it does you no good because the keys are the one that unlocks the power. Would you agree with me? Kind of unlocks it and allows you to go somewhere. But here's the other thing. That's conversion, okay? The other thing is if there's no fuel in the car, you're not going anywhere. The keys are like you and I being converted to Christ. We get the keys. We got life. The fuel is the Holy Spirit that allows us to go and to move and to work. Listen, you know what? Put all the water you want in your car. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to go anywhere. You can hope all you want that it will run. Why? Listen to me. Because the car was designed to run on fuel, gas. And you and I are designed to run by the power of God's Spirit working in us. And what fuel is to a car, the Holy Spirit is to a Christ follower that allows you and I to be genuine and authentic and real And that is so important. You see, Paul says it this way. Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus, how do we receive him? By faith. He says, continue to live your lives in him. So I continue to live. God, I believe that you saved me, that you forgiven me. And so you know what? With that same faith, I'm going to believe that you can fill me with your Holy Spirit and move and work within me and be able to lead and guide me and be able to take care of everything that I face in life because you're in me and greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You see, what happens is when you accept Jesus Christ, he comes and lives within you. And so you might be confused when we say being spirit-filled. And I'm going to explain that to you, okay? Because here's what Paul says. Paul says it like this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he dwells in you when you accept Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand what this means. That means that God lives in you the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And so here's what I mean by that. God lives in you, okay? So we're called to honor him. We're called to surrender to him. We're called to operate our life from his perspective. And when we do, it changes everything. And here's what I mean. If you ask me to come live at your house for the next month, would it change anything in your house? Y'all okay? I bet you you'd have a talk with everybody in your house. You might even call me pastor. Pastor Dwight's going to come be with us for a month. Let's tidy up. Come on. We want to be on our what? Best behavior. We want to clean things up. Guess who lives in you and lives in me? His name's Jesus. How would my life change? How would your life change if we realize that on a day-to-day basis? That God himself is living inside of you and me. Wouldn't it make us more self-aware of what's going on in our life? Of whether we're genuine or whether we're not? Whether we're a person of integrity or whether we're not? That the stuff that you're doing right now, maybe you wouldn't do if you were aware that he lived in you? That you would hang on his words and you'd say, oh my lands, he's living inside of me. What's he got to say? What does he think about this? What would he want me to do? Where would he want me to go? You see, when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're able to accomplish and do things that you would never, ever be able to do because he's there. You know what? Maybe you have a sister. Maybe if I came and lived with you for a month, you'd even be nice to her. Because something would take over. And you would realize that somebody's in the house. That's the Spirit of God for you and me. And so Paul gives us what that literally means. Okay? Here's what he says. Okay? He says, be careful then how you live. Why? Because everybody's watching. Listen. If you're a Christ follower, everybody's watching how you're responding to what's going on in our world today. Politically as well as medically. Okay? Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. These are incredible days. These are great opportunities. You know why? Because fear is running rampant. And if you and I handle it right, not lackadaisical, okay, so don't go there with me. But if you and I handle it right, people are going to say, so how are you handling this? What's going on in your world? Why aren't you freaking out like everybody else is? That's an opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Are they not evil? You bet they are evil. And whenever evil is running rampant, there's all kinds of opportunities for you and I to shine. And so he says this, therefore, in light of that, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And guess what? He gives us God's will. You want to know what God's will is? Here's God's will, okay? Do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. Wow. That's God's will. You think this virus and stuff has caused people to drink more? Yeah, because you know what? They're going crazy. Their nerves are shot. See, Paul is talking to a group of people who in their day and age, okay, drunkenness was a way of life. Paul knew that. Substance abuse was rampant. It was the way of life in Paul's day. And so he addresses this head on because he realizes that when one gets drunk, when one goes that way, their energy is wasted, their mind is wasted, their resources are wasted, their opportunities are wasted. And yet what he would say and what we're going to learn is being filled with the Holy Spirit is just the opposite. You see, what happens is when one drinks to excessive, okay, guess what happens? It leads to thoughtless, reckless deeds because you want to escape reality. Can I just say, Christ followers don't escape reality, we embrace it. And what happens is being filled with the Spirit leads to thoughtful deeds, careful deeds, good deeds. And so instead of your energy and my energy being wasted, it's being used in a positive way, a constructive way. See, here's what happens, okay? A person says, I have a big problem, so I need a drink. I have painful emotions, so I need a drink. I have this issue at work, so I need to drink. And what happens is, if you really sit down and talk to somebody, when I have a drink, it just takes the edge off of me. It kind of calms me down. It kind of chills me out. I have to have a meeting tomorrow and tell somebody something unpleasant, so I need a drink. Because why? It'll give me courage. I'm lonely and I'm wounded and I'm uptight and I feel alone all by myself, so I'll take a drink. Because it makes me more open. It makes me more vulnerable. What do they say? You want to hear somebody's story? Go to a bar. Because why? The alcohol just makes you more vulnerable. It makes you more open to people. And what happens is if we're not careful, alcohol works by depressing your awareness of reality. It narrows our vision. It makes you see less and care less. Now, this doesn't have to be alcohol only. It can be TV, it can be Facebook, it can be food, it can be fantasy. But the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit works in the opposite way. The Holy Spirit does not limit your vision by depressing your awareness. You know what he does? He expands your vision by stimulating your awareness. You're aware of everything that's going on. Yes, I understand that's a problem. Yes, I understand that's dangerous. Yes, I understand what's happening here. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't run from reality. He doesn't deny reality. You know what he does? He embraces reality. You know why? Because he's God. And he wants to help you and I see a bigger reality. And what's the bigger reality? Yes, we're going through this. Yes, this is hard. Yes, this is painful. But here's the bigger reality. God loves you. God loves you. And he's in charge. And he's in charge of the issues that want to bring fear upon you and me. He's in charge of the issues that you're dealing with. And so Paul says it like this. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, don't go that route. That's been your lifestyle. That's been the way in which you've lived. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's an urgency. Don't go the way in which you used to handle all of your problems. You now have the Spirit of God living in you. And this isn't a casual suggestion. You know what it is? It's a command. It's a command which you and I play a role. Now, I can't fill myself with the Spirit. But the fact of the matter is, if I allow habitual sin in my life, it's going to quench the Spirit. Or if I'm resisting God's will. And so you don't do the filling, okay? You and I have to be filled. And he knows what you need. All he's waiting for is for you and I to ask him. And so Paul would say, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the word filled here can be shared in three different ways, okay? Let me give them to you quickly. One is through pressure. The word filled conveys pressure. And here's what I mean. Have you ever watched a sailboat take off? The sailboat in and of itself has no power. But the cooperation that the sailboat has to do is lift its sails. And if it lifts its sails, then the wind, the power, comes along and what? Whoo! Moves it. So it has a part to play, but it's not behind the power. That's what he's talking about here. Be filled. And what happens is then God will move you along in life to be able to accomplish and go where you need to go. Another word that is used for filled is permeate. Here's what I mean by that, okay? Looky here. I got a glass of milk here, okay? I got some Hershey syrup, all right? Guess what? Now, let me ask you a question. Is there Hershey syrup in this? Absolutely. Is the Spirit of God living in a believer? Absolutely. But here's what it means to be Spirit-filled. What happens is you allow God to stir you and to work in you and to move in you in such a way that, guess what? It permeates the whole glass. Y'all okay? And guess what? It flavors everything. So what happens is when you're Spirit-filled, what happens is you add a flavor to the world, to people around you. I like your flavor. You add something to me. You add something. It permeates everything. The whole thing is flavored. And what it means is that you're being like God to other people who adds flavor. It permeates everything. And then the third word is control. Is control. And here's what I mean by that. Control is like, you know, I'm at work and I'm dealing with stuff and it's not going very well. So I'm frustrated. So I think I'll go home and try to get happy. Okay? And so I'm trying to balance these two things out, okay? Because isn't that what we try to do? And then I get a phone call that a dear friend of mine died. And I'm filled with sorrow. And there's no balancing. I am consumed with what? Grief. I am controlled by my grief. You see, it's the idea of being driven by the Spirit of God, by being moved by the Spirit of God, by being permeated by of the Spirit of God, by being controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's the issue. When you and I are under the control of the Spirit of God, what happens is he's alive and we are alive. But guess what? We can grieve him. And when we grieve him, what happens is we grieve him by saying no. And when we do that, guess what? We quench him and we restrict him from moving and working in our heart and in our life. And then what happens is when we quench the Spirit, okay, that happens. But then you know what? We can grieve the Spirit as well, and it stops his purposes in our life. And so Paul would say it like this: do not get drunk with wine. Instead, what? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, how will my life be different, okay? How will my life be different when I'm filled with the Spirit of God? I understand in the book of Acts, okay, there's fire, there's wind, there's speaking of tongues, there's the miraculous, and that's fantastic and that's great, okay? But Paul here is talking to a group of people and he's getting real specific. And here's what he says. How will my life be different? Here's what he says. By speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. You know what he's saying? You ready for this? How will my life be different? I'll be teachable. I'll be teachable. my attitude will be that other people can speak into my life without me becoming defensive. That means that other people can tell me the truth. They can coach me. They can help me. And guess what? I can teach them, and I can tell them the truth. And so what happens is one of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is being teachable, being able to speak to one another, husband and wife, son and dad, mother and daughter, sibling to sibling. That what happens is I'm open to feedback and I'm open to giving you feedback. Y'all okay? Speaking to one another. He goes on to say this. He says, and sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Wow. You know what that is? That's being joyful. That's being joyful. What does Paul say? Paul writes this from the book of Philippians in jail. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Guess what? The Lord is near. And so when you're spirit-filled, there's a sense of being joyful. What is joy? I love what Rick Warren has to say. Here's what he says. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. Anybody experiencing that? Or do you think it's coming unraveled today? He says, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Wow. So Paul says, don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit because it'll allow you to be teachable. It'll cause you to be joyful. And then he goes on to say this. He says, always giving thanks to God. Not most of the time, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How will my life be different when I allow him to permeate every area of my life? I'll be teachable. I'll be joyful. Guess what else I'll be? I'll be grateful. Can I tell you this? Grumblers aren't spirit-filled. Speak in tongues. Tell me that you saw a 12-foot angel at the end of your bed. Doesn't matter to me. See, what happens is we want to point to those things. And Paul would say, no, let me look at your life. Let me look at your behavior because we're talking about power. We're not talking about an experience. All of us have different experiences. I could tell you some of mine. But it doesn't guarantee that I'm spirit-filled. What guarantees that I'm spirit-filled is, Dwight, are you teachable? Are you joyful? Are you grateful or are you a grumbler? Do you look for the best? Or do you always complain about what you don't have? And then he says this, okay? He just kind of gives a little exclamation point. He says, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow. You know what he's saying? How will my life be different? I'll be humble. See, what? Why do I choose to submit to Patty? You say, Patty's my wife, by the way, okay? You say, you submit to your wife? I do. Why? Because I have reverence for Christ. See, when you and I choose not to submit to one another, what you're saying is, I don't respect Christ. I don't respect the person who lives inside of me. Because he says, you do this out of reverence for Christ. And so what happens here? When I'm spirit-filled, I become teachable, joyful, grateful, okay? Humble. Does that sound like somebody you'd like to hang out with? Does that sound like somebody who would be contagious? So what happens? All of your relationships, all of my relationships become right. My relationship with God is right. My relationship with Patty and Caleb and Sarah, Nate, and Jonathan, and Benjamin, and the people in my life are right. Why? Because I'm teachable. I'm joyful. I'm humble. I'm grateful. And when your relationship with other people are right, it's because you submit to one another in marriage. I can help your marriage a whole lot, okay? I can save you weeks and weeks of counseling. Become spirit-filled and submit to one another. It's all very practical. It's all very clear. Now, here's the thing. The word fill there means continually. You know why? Because Dwight leaks. And so if I'm going to be teachable tomorrow, I'm going to need a fresh filling of God's Spirit tomorrow. If I'm going to be joyful tomorrow, I'm going to need a fresh filling of God's Spirit tomorrow. If I'm going to be grateful tomorrow, I'm going to need a fresh filling of God's Spirit tomorrow. If I'm going to be humble tomorrow, I'm going to need a fresh filling of God's Spirit tomorrow. You know why? Because I leak. And the filling of the Holy Spirit affects all of our relationships with God, with our family, and with our friends, and with those around us. Let's not forget him. Let's embrace him. Would you pray with me? God, we love you today, and we thank you for who you are. And God, we don't want to forget who you are, that you're not only God the Father who created everything, you're God the Son who came to earth 2,000 years ago, and you're God the Holy Spirit. You're three in one. And you want to dwell and live within us. And God, we know that there's pressures and there's problems and there's pain. And there's all of that around us, and it's so easy to cave into it. But you tell us that by your Spirit, you can empower us. You can transform us to be able to live life and life to the fullest. God, I know I need that every single day. And I pray for my friends here today as well. And it's in your name we ask and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.